You all look very strange this morning. Seems like I've been gone about 100 years. Maybe some feel I haven't been gone long enough, but I'm glad to be home and good to see everybody. And we've got a good crowd this morning. Just finished up a meeting in Florence on Friday evening. Meeting went well, except about 50 to 75% of the people were not there. They had the flu, and so I kept thinking they might just cancel the meeting, but they didn't. But so I was around folks all week that had the flu, haven't got the flu so far. So that's a good thing by the grace of God. But I know that's been bug or two going around here as well. Looks like we've got a great crowd today. So, yes, what Brother Ronnie said, shake right, cough left, probably is a good idea. Maybe even a holy wave or something other, but glad to see everyone that's here. The week before, I was in Louisville, Kentucky at the Expressway Church. My wife went with me. She has lots of family up in that area, and got to do some visiting with them as well. But it was a good meeting there. But glad to be home. A lot of folks stepped up and participated in taking my place. Mark McIntyre, Damon Ferris, Steve Parker, Brad Smith. And there might have been somebody that I overlooked, but I appreciate so very, very much everybody's willingness to do the extra. And thank you guys so very, very much. So today, I would like to talk to us about, are you sure you're a Christian? Now, that might sound like kind of an odd question, maybe. Wouldn't someone know if they're a Christian or not? Well, you would think so. But I have found through the years that there are folks that thought they were, but they weren't. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. If you're visiting here, we're really glad that you're here. And if you're not a member of the body of Jesus Christ, we are really proud and great that you're here. We're happy you're here. Got the wrong word. I hope you have your Bibles and that you'll study with us from the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian, we're not here to point it out to you or point you out or make fun of you in any way, but to help you, to encourage you about being obedient to Jesus Christ. If you are, you've thought for many years that you're a Christian, but maybe after our study today, you'll maybe think differently. Again, we want you to have the opportunity to be obedient to Christ. We want you to go to heaven. So let's study together, I think, this very, very important topic. So, the Bible would teach that you could be a religious person and not be a Christian. You know, Acts chapter 2 is really a great example of that. Most people are well familiar with Acts 2. And you recall the fact that in Acts 2, there were thousands of very religious people gathered together. And they were worshiping God according to the Mosaic law. But on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles began to preach the gospel, these folks found out that even though they were religious, they weren't Christians. And the whole point of the sermon that you see in Acts chapter 2 is to convince them that they needed to believe in Jesus Christ and become His follower. We turn to the book of Acts, and we find in chapter 10 another very familiar story of a man named Cornelius. He's a Roman soldier. He too was a very religious person, and the Holy Spirit reveals that he was a very good man. Even the Jews liked him, being a Gentile and being a Roman soldier. But when you study through that chapter, you find that when the Apostle Peter comes to his house, Peter speaks to him the gospel about Jesus Christ, and he and his whole family were baptized into Christ to become a Christian. So here was a man, it was a good man, but he wasn't a Christian. We find as well that there are those in the Bible that believe. We have in Acts 26, we have King Agrippa. He believed in God, but he wasn't a Christian. James chapter 2 is usually used to emphasize that even the demons believe, but they're not Christians. We find that people can even worship God and not be Christians. In the book of Matthew chapter 15, Jesus commended in a way the people for being worshipers, but he said, "In vain you worship, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." It might be that we could include here with worshiper as someone that's gone to church. There are many people that have gone to church regularly for years and are not Christians. There are folks that are very sincere and yet not Christians. Saul of Tarsus is one of those guys. He was very sincere in what he was doing. He was persecuting Christians. But he was very sincere in what he believed. Now, the reason I use those examples is the fact that all of these are used by some to justify what they are not doing. And what are they not doing? They're not obeying Christ to become a Christian. They have convinced themselves, may I suggest, deceived themselves into thinking that if you're religious or if you're a good person or if you believe in God or you go to church and you're sincere, that you're okay just the way you are. You don't have to join any official church. You don't have to, you know, make any official membership pledge of any sort. You don't have to get baptized. You know, I just have it in my heart and I feel it in my heart that I'm okay because X, Y, Z, these things. But these are all examples that time and time again the Scripture says these things in and of themselves is not what makes you a Christian. Now I know that that is not what a lot of people want to hear. But that is the truth. If you in any way don't believe that, please take the time to read the Bible about those kinds of examples. You're welcome to an electronic copy of the PowerPoint. Get you a hard copy. You can get a DVD or a CD of the lesson. Go home. Show me wrong. Prove me wrong. That's okay. If you can do that, I'll change. Repent of that. Never preach it again. But what if it's true? Then it just might be if you're using that particular list as your standard of being a Christian, you're not a Christian. So what is a Christian? Well, the word is used three times in the Bible. And the first time is in Acts 11 and verse 26. And each of these passages, I want to just briefly examine and just notice a few key ideas there that help us understand this word, Christian. In Acts 11 and verse 26, the Scripture says, "When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch," that is, Barnabas found Saul. "And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." The one thing that just really is glaring here is the fact that a person that is a Christian is a disciple, because the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So a disciple is just a learner, a student, a pupil, a follower of someone. We find disciples of Moses in the scriptures mentioned. But a disciple of Christ is one that followed Christ, his teaching, and the way he lived. Well, this disciples that were called Christians, if you'll notice here first, it's referred to this group here as a church. There are lots of folks that would like to make some kind of statement that they are saved and they're going to heaven, but they don't want nothing to do with any church. Back in Acts 2, we find that those folks that were religious, but yet not Christians, heard the gospel, obeyed the gospel, and the text says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved." The conclusion you come to is that the church is very, very important. It's the saved of God. May I go ahead and add in Acts 11 and verse 26 that the church is made up of Christians. So if you're not a Christian, you're not in the church. If you're not in the church, you're not a disciple. If you're not a disciple, you're lost. You're not in the saved of God. Another passage is 26 and verse 28 of Acts. Acts 26, verse 28. And this particular passage, Paul before King Agrippa, Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." Now, depending on your English translation, King James to NIV, there's a little bit difference there of how that is phrased. But the bottom line is, Agrippa was making it very clear that as a result of the preaching of Paul, the gospel, that he was about to be persuaded to be a Christian. So here is an example of our first chart. You know, you might be religious, you might be a believer, you might be sincere, etc., 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 but that doesn't make you a Christian. And here, even King Agrippa realized that whatever he might have been or might not have been, he wasn't a Christian. Paul was talking to him about becoming a Christian. Here's another thought. You have to be persuaded. The gospel is the information that God gives to persuade people, to convince people, to teach people. As we say in Kentucky, you know, we learn you something. Well, what do you learn? You learn through the gospel that you're a sinner. And you learn about Jesus who came to save us from our sins. And if you obey Jesus, you can be forgiven of your sins. And when you're saved and forgiven of your sins, you're a Christian. So King Agrippa, he heard that. He said, "Well, almost. You persuade me to be a Christian." If you notice the response of Paul in verse 28, verse 29, excuse me, Paul said, "I would wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." What was he saying? Paul was claiming to be a Christian. And he said, "I wish everybody that's listening to me would become just like me, except these chains, that you would become a Christian." But today, our plea in preaching the gospel is that if you never obeyed Christ, our plea is that you would become just like us, a Christian. Another passage is in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. And the Apostle Peter says, "But if anyone suffer as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." So what we see from this passage, a couple of things. Christians get persecuted. I remember that the Lord said to His disciples, He said, "If they persecuted Me, they will persecute you." Another thought from the verse is that you shouldn't be ashamed if you suffer persecution. If you're going to suffer because you're a child of God, you shouldn't be ashamed of that. Remember Paul in Romans 1 when he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The very thought, the very idea of being ashamed of who you are, the Bible teaches if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to belong to Christ, then you need to, as Peter says, glorify God in this name. To be proud, if you were, of who you are. So are you a Christian? The apostles were told in the book of Matthew 28 and 19 and 20 what is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. And this Great Commission, just after Jesus' resurrection and prior to His ascension, going back to heaven, Jesus told His disciples to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Did you notice there that the text says, Jesus said, make disciples? You remember we saw in Acts 11, verse 26, that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So here's what Jesus is saying. He's telling the disciples, well, you need to go into all the world and make Christians. So if the apostles were here today, what would they be telling us? Become a Christian. That was the mission that Jesus gave those apostles. That is the mission that the apostles gave the church. And 2,000 years later, we are here today preaching and teaching, you need to become a Christian. Amen. In Mark 16, Mark's account, Mark simply said, or records Jesus saying, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Just for the moment, I want to notice two things from those verses. One, it's the same message, same mission Matthew 28 teaches. Secondly, those that reject or disbelieve will be condemned. In 2 Thessalonians 1, it is Paul who says that the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's absolutely clear. You need to make absolutely sure that you are a Christian, because if you're not a Christian, if you've not obeyed the gospel, God will judge you, condemn you on the day of judgment. That's clear. So are you a Christian? So how do you become a Christian? Well, the Bible says you must hear and believe the gospel. The very purpose of the apostles in the Matthew 28 and the Mark 16 Great Commission text is that people need to hear the truth. So the apostles were sent with a mission: teach the truth. Well, when the truth is heard, in order to be obeyed, you must believe it. Now, I think there have been, through the centuries, there have been people that have made a claim to obey the gospel, but they did not do it from the heart. There is an example in the New Testament of a man that heard the gospel and he said, "Here's some water, what hinders me from being baptized?" And the preacher said to him, he said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may. One thing is clear about becoming a Christian. You will only become a Christian when you do it from the heart. It doesn't do any good to make a claim of becoming a Christian when it's not from the heart or it was for someone else. It has to be for God. It has to be for you, regardless of what anybody else says. So when you hear the gospel, you need to believe it with all your heart. And what do you hear and what do you believe? Well, we've just mentioned the fact that in Acts 2 and other examples, the essence of the gospel news is all people have sinned. And our sins separate us from God. God's grace and God's mercy is manifested through Jesus. He died on the cross that we can be forgiven of those sins. So hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, involves you coming to realize that you're a sinner, that you've done wrong. And rejecting the gospel is also sinful. When you hear what's right, you know what's right, and you don't do what's right, that's sinful. So what do you do about that? Well, you repent. Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." An example of that is in the days of Noah. There are a bunch of people. The scriptures teach us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Well, he preached and teached and preached and teached and taught and preached for 120 years. What was he preaching? God's going to destroy the world because it's wicked. You better get on the boat. People didn't get on the boat. They didn't repent. They didn't change. They drowned. Same message today. The world is sinful. God's going to destroy the world. Get on the boat. Get in the church. What happens if you don't get in the church? You're going to drown. You're going to die. God's already proved that to us, that He means what He says, and He says what He means. He loves us. He wants us to be saved. But He's not going to pick you up and carry you onto the boat. You need to walk with your own two legs. Well, when you hear this great gospel and you believe it and you realize you've sinned, you are introduced to the Savior. You're introduced to Jesus of Nazareth. And He is the Lord. He is the Savior of our souls. So you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Himself said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." No, it's not okay in becoming a Christian to believe that Muhammad is the Savior of the world. No, it's not okay to believe that Buddha is the Savior of the world. It's not okay to believe that anybody else has any power or significance in the salvation of your soul whatsoever. So you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior. And you do what Jesus said. You're baptized to have your sins washed away. I'm kind of a simpleton. I make no really apology for that, but just simply say it this way. Me and my family, we came out of denominationalism. I know a number of you came out of denominationalism. And I may be talking to folks that are listening that are in denominationalism. And I just want to make a very simpleton point. If you're ever going to believe anything that Jesus ever said, and if He is the Son of God, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That means if you don't get baptized, you're lost. Jesus said that and put a period at the end of that sentence. There's no argument about that. Oh, I know people do argue it. And they try every which way but loose to try to get out of that. Are you sure you're a Christian? Okay. So now you're a Christian. What do you do? Well, you do what the first century Christians did. Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. That's what you need to do. Be like those first century Christians. Just do those sort of things. And the New Testament is all about that. You need to glorify God. Glorifying God is letting your light shine. And that was one of the principles that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." So, if you're a Christian, you're not ashamed. You let your light shine, and it illumines to those round about you. And you encourage each other by your example to do what you've done. Become a Christian. You become a living sacrifice. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 12. It's the fact that you present yourself a living sacrifice. You're not to be conformed to this world, but you're to be transformed. You give yourself to God, and the world sees your dedication. What a beautiful thing. What a wonderful sacrifice. What a sweet-smelling aroma to the world, to see someone that actually practices what they preach. Letting your light shine, as I've already mentioned, we are reflectors of God's goodness. The light doesn't originate with me or with you. The light originates from God. So, this old world needs some good light spread and shown. I don't think I have to really go into any detail to simply say, this old world's messed up. It needs some light. You need to become a Christian and help this world see God. What do? You need to remain faithful. So, what you would be signing up for today, if you became a Christian, is making a commitment. Making a commitment that God forgives your sins, and you're grateful and thankful to God for that. And your commitment is, you're going to be faithful the rest of your days to do His will. Now, you need to ask yourself a question. Maybe I should have said, are you sure you want to be a Christian? Because being a Christian is serious business. There's folks that sign up that don't last long. Have you been forgiven? There's water right in there. There's clothes over here and there. Over there. You can be baptized into Christ today and have every sin washed away. And you can leave this building and you can answer this question. Are you a Christian? And you can say unashamedly, yes, I'm a Christian. I've been forgiven. There might be one or more persons in this building that will walk out that door today, and you know good and well you're not a Christian. And you've rejected an opportunity today. You have no promise of tomorrow. You have no promise whatsoever of the rest of this day. Here's an opportunity. Won't you come as we stand and sing?